also with you.
The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble.
The name of the God of Jacob defend thee.
Send thee help from the sanctuary.
And strengthen thee out of Zion.
Silent confessions.
now, Lord God, hear the priesthood of believers in corporate confession.
Help, Lord, for the God of man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? The wicked walk on every side, while the vilest men are exalted. Father God, we confess that this too often applies to us. Forgive us, heal us, and lead us. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Let us arise together and hear the good news. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Thanks be to God, our sins are forgiven.
Astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him that he would stay a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I chose you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
As you may know, there is always found in connection with the lectionary readings a particular psalm. And today, the particular psalm that's connected with the lectionary readings is Psalm 98. And from that psalm, we will be getting our theme and the title of our sermon. The title of the sermon is Judging the World with Equity. Judging the world with equity. Psalm 98, verse 9. Psalm lists through all the reasons, rightly so, to praise God for all his providence. And that praise comes before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the peoples with equity. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this scripture and the other scriptures we will look at. And Father, as we live in a culture where the word equity has been all the rage and I say the word rage with all of its meaning, equity has dominated our landscape and its pursuit. So, Father, we ask that you would help us to explore this biblically, what it means, who it is that perhaps ought to have prerogative to establish inequity, to practice, to make judgment by equity, and perhaps who it is that ought to give pause and favor rather equality. Father, we pray that you would help us to work through this. Give us guideposts today, we pray, and help us. And Father, we are not remiss to remember here that our moms are such a blessing to us. And for sure, they are among those given the prerogative to establish equity. Equity in the home, equity in the household. We praise you and we bless them for doing so. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was just about 20 years ago, it may literally be exactly 20 years ago, when I was attending a graduation party. And at this graduation party, someone approaches me, comes up to me, and asks me this question. And the question is this: do you treat all your kids the same? That's really a very loaded question. Do you treat all your kids the same? And they may have followed that up with using the word equally. But they said, do you treat all your kids the same? But that question really led me on pursuit and follow up with that person and some other things. That question really led me to my first encounter to what was then a fairly new book on the landscape. And that book was The Five Love Languages. The Five Love Languages, and perhaps you're familiar with that. How we give and how we receive love. And the idea, we talked last week about love kind of being this oxygen that makes us tick. Love's important, and so if I'm going to speak a language, I better speak a language that the other person can hear and understand so that they can receive love from me and can have this oxygen, right? They can have to get up and go, we talked about last week, that they need to live their lives. The five love languages, how we give and receive love. And so there were five of them, right? If you know the book, there's gifts, right? There's the idea of quality time. Some people like acts of service. Other people like physical touch. Other people, it's words of affirmation. I think it was Mark Twain, who said, I can go for 2 months on a good compliment. There's a guy who needed affirmation, words of affirmation. So those are the five love languages. And one of the takeaways from that initial conversation that I had with that person who said, do you treat all your kids the same? One of the takeaways from that question is that the best answer to that question, the best answer to that question, do you treat all your kids the same? Do you treat them completely equally? In terms of positive and negative sanctions, the best answer is no. In terms of negative sanctions, you know, I have some of my children that they needed the paddling. Others simply needed the look. So, was I treating them equally? I really wasn't treating them equally, but I was treating them in a way better than equal. I was exercising equity in terms of that negative sanction. Treating them equally in terms of positive and negative sanction? The best answer is no. Now, that's not a bad way for us to begin to rightly discern some of the differences between equality and equity. There's a place for equality and there is a place for equity. You see, if all that I ever did in terms of even my positive sanction and disciplining with my children, trying to reward them, trying to encourage them, if all I ever did was to exercise just one of the love languages with my kid,
I would be treating them equally, but without equity. Right? If all I ever did was exercise the gift of gift giving, if that all I ever did, I would be treating them equally, but without equity. But you see, my kids were different. Their wants and their needs, their love languages were different. And so for one of the kids, you know what? Giving them a gift is really a good thing to do. And it didn't matter how big the gift was. You open up one of those little Cracker Jacks boxes, and you got this little piece of paper, or who knows what's on it. You give them that gift, and they're on cloud nine. A different kid wants to play pitch and catch. You do that with him, and all of a sudden, he's on cloud nine because you spent quality time with him. A different language. Another kid. Oh, that bike of his that, you know, needs repair. I haven't got to it yet, but I go fix the bike. An act of service. Super dad. Because of an act of service. Well, for 5 seconds, I'm assuming. Another kid just kind of wants to lean on you and sit on your lap for 30 seconds. I have a couple of dogs like that. They have their love languages, you know, leaning on you. And then there's another kid like Mark Twain. Good job. I can go for 2 months on a good comic. So I just kind of want to leave that out there. If you're exercising the love languages, you're practicing equity. But you're not treating your kids equally. You're not treating them the same. Correct? Are you with me? You're doing something better than equality. You're practicing equity. And so here we are in our culture. Just set that aside for a little bit. Equity is all the rage in our culture. And there's a lot of similarity between equity and equality. A lot. I'll have a slide to show you some of this here. This is right out of the dictionary. Equity. Equity is fairness, impartiality in terms of justice. I was always told that you're not supposed to define a word with the same word, but anything that is fair, right, or equitable. Then we come to number three, and then, you know, there's all these different disciplines in the world, and equity has different definitions in different areas of discipline, and so the value of property beyond the total amount that you owe. If you take out a home equity loan, you're only borrowing against the value of what you actually own, not the value of the house itself. The value of property beyond the total amount that you owe on it, number four, in accounting and in finance, it's assets minus those liabilities, right? It's your net worth, it's capital. It's a portion of the company's net worth belonging to the ownership. So equity in a sense is, I have ownership in something, I have equity in something, I have skin in the game. Maybe we could use that terminology there. But I want us to look at number five, because number five is the area of law. And law is the sphere of politics. And this is the rub in our culture here. Number five, right? Here we go. This is equity. It is resorting. Equity is an alternate path. It's resorting to general principles of fairness and justice whenever existing law is inadequate. We've just been through, in our nation, a couple of years where the Constitution doesn't work. Nothing's fair. Nothing's equal. I'm not getting equal justice here. Our whole system of government has just been trashed because it's inadequate. Inadequate. Resort to general principles of fairness and justice whenever existing law is inadequate. A system of rules and doctrines, such as in the United States, supplementing common and statute law and superseding such law. Oh, the law says this, but we're going to do that. Because the law is inadequate. So somebody says, who makes these determinations? Okay, so what we're talking about here is equity is resorting to supplementing the common and statute law and superseding such law when it proves inadequate for a just settlement. The Constitution just doesn't work anymore. Our justice system doesn't work anymore.
We can't practice equality anymore. We have to practice equity. That's the driver behind what's happening in our culture. And then, of course, there's this area here where a prerogative to practice equity is a right or a claim recognized in a court of equity and making things right in a court. I hope you see here that what they're talking about in number 5 is somehow the law is viewed as inadequate. And the first question we have to ask ourselves, by whose standard is it inadequate? And maybe it is and maybe it isn't. I'm not here to answer those questions, but who's going to make that decision? And should laws of equality, should they be supplemented? Should they be superseded? Meaning superseded is go over them, go around them, have something higher than them. Brethren, I submit to you that this is precisely what we are up against culturally. This practice of equity that is completely out of control in our culture. This is what we're up against. And so today I want to attempt to give us some guideposts to help us navigate this. And I guess I want to begin with setting this forth. Who is it that is best equipped to administer equity? To decide that the law is not adequate and so we have to take these other measures. We have to supplement it, or we have to supersede it. Who is best equipped to administer this equity? And of course, what that means is perhaps there are those who really aren't well equipped to do it and shouldn't be practicing it. Equity, it seems from the scripture, is best limited as the prerogative of 4 groups. So there's 4 groups that I think we could really make a solid case in the Bible that they have the prerogative to establish equity, meaning kind of setting aside law, equality, and saying we're going to do this instead. First is God, right? We saw that in Psalm 98. We'll see that before we're finished here. God has the prerogative to practice equity. He can do what he wants, right? He's God. Second, cheer up, moms. You're on this list. Moms are given the prerogative of practicing equity. Thirdly, kings, we see these in the scripture, kings have the prerogative to establish equity in the land. And then 4, even according to this definition, courts. And after all, courts, really, what is a court? A court really is a delegation, something that's delegated from the king and for those who are in charge. And I could posit scriptures after all of these. God certainly does this. God does it well. Psalm 98:9. We begin with that. And God is praised for this in Psalm 98:9, right? He's praised because he establishes equity. And he judges his people with equity. Kings do so as well. Psalm 99 in verse 4. A king's strength also. And actually this psalm is really about God because God is the king, so he's both. So this is a little bit of, well, is it really God? Is it really king? But even if we're going to say that this is an earthly king, the king has the prerogative to exercise equity. And of course, as I mentioned, the courts are a delegation or delegated by kings. But you know, moms practice equity all the time. And that's a good thing. It goes with the territory. Again, there's that expression, God couldn't be everywhere, so he gave us moms, right? Moms are granted the prerogative of establishing equity. I mean, dads are kind of like, you know, dad is Mr. Law and Order, right? We're going to have dinner at 5 o'clock when I get home. Dads are law and order, or more law and order, more equality. But moms do equity so very, very well. Dad is establishing the household. The family buys a table. Somebody has to decide. Dad's really, he's responsible before God for how many inches off the floor the table is. And most tables are about 30 inches. So dad goes out and the family goes out. He hopefully listens to his wife, right? Good. They buy a table that's 30 inches off the floor. Great. That means it's the same distance off the floor for all the kids. It's 30 inches off the floor. Okay?
And Dad also establishes this idea. He doesn't want anybody pestering Mom, so he says, nobody in the kitchen until Mom, we're not going to have dinner till 5. Nobody's allowed in the kitchen. You know, in our house, people would go around picking, you know, starting, getting early, start. No one goes in the kitchen until Mom says, come and get it. And then you're allowed to go into the kitchen. This is rules. This is law. This is equality. Everybody's being treated the same. Nobody in the kitchen. And you're all going to sit at this table. And the table's 30 inches. And we have our chairs. And guess what? All the chairs are pretty much the same size. Right? Rules and law and equality. Well, then there's 3-year-old Susie. And she needs a booster seat. Because if she sits in the adult chair that you have around your table, her head isn't even going to be above where the table is. So we have the standard, we have equality. All the chairs are the same, but little Susie needs a booster seat. Mom gives her a booster seat. That's not equality. And she doesn't give all the other kids the booster seat because they get their heads above the table. Susie gets a booster seat. The other kids don't. This is not equality, but it is equity. The existing law is not adequate. And Mom knows her family. Mom's going to do the right thing. Mom's going to make it right so Susie gets a booster seat. And when I say booster seat, I want you to think about our culture where someone needs a boost, where someone really gets biblical equality, what is done right for them, even though they're given a booster seat. They're being treated with equity when that happens. Susie needs a booster seat. That is equity. It's not equality. Equality would say, hey, tough beans, Susie. You got to sit in the table like everybody else. A rule's a rule. And then there's Tiny Tim. He's on crutches. So he's waiting for dinner to be called, right? He's got the same issue here with the table and all, but Tiny Tim has a different issue because he's on crutches. And every time Mom says, come and get it, Tiny Tim gets trampled. Tiny Tim doesn't even make it to the table. But a rule's a rule. Everybody's being treated equally. Nobody comes to the kitchen until Mom says, come and get it. But when Mom says, come and get it, Tiny Tim gets trampled. And so what does Mom do? Mom gives Tiny Tim a head start. And Tiny Tim gets to the table. Is she treating her kids equally? No! Is she practicing equity? Yes! She's doing the right thing. Where the law was deficient, Mom supersedes it. Mom supplements it. So Tiny Tim gets his seat. Tiny Tim gets a head start. When I use the word head start, you can think of other things in the culture that where perhaps some people should get a head start. That's equity, not equality. And then you got the runt. I was the runt, right? I had an older brother. There's full size, there's mid size, and then there's me, okay? The runt, you know, Mom recognizes that, you know, if I treat everybody equally here and everybody gets the same plate, this runt, he's... He gets an extra scoop of potatoes. Mom is entrusted. Mom is well entrusted in giving the runt an extra scoop of potatoes. Is that equality? No. It's equity. It's doing what's right. It's superseding, supplementing the law that's not quite accurate because the runt needs that extra nutrition. That practice of equity really is equal justice that incorporates grace that makes things right. Moms are wonderfully equipped to do that. But hold on here. We need to be careful about who has the prerogative to establish equity. If everybody decides that the law is not adequate and we need to supersede it, we need to supplement it, what are we left with? We're really left with what we find repeated in the Bible several times where it says, in Israel in those days there was no king and everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Everybody's trying to make it right in their eyes. Can equity really be entrusted to the prerogative of the masses? We need to be careful about who has the prerogative to establish equity. It will devolve into every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And when the society asks for government to do it, now government isn't local, it isn't right near in the home, it doesn't understand about Susie, it doesn't understand about Tiny Tim, it doesn't take into account all of the responsibilities there, it doesn't understand about some of the ramifications if we just practice and give everybody a booster seat, or give everybody a head start. When society asks for government to do it, they are asking government to be God. They're asking God to make right. And governments are just men. They're asking the government to be God. Or they're asking the government to be mom. In the case of saying that the government is kind of like mom, then the government becomes what? A nanny. Right? A nanny. And when the government becomes a nanny, guess what? We're all treated as children. Is that really a good idea? That we're all treated as children? If the government is treated like a god or like a king, if the government is about being a king in his court, then we end up all being treated as pawns. And besides, if the government takes this prerogative and takes this role in our lives, if the government is successful, which it cannot possibly be successful ultimately in doing this, but even if it is successful, we no longer will need mom or God. And it makes you wonder if that really is the goal of the powers that be. That if I take the prerogative of equity as a governor, right, then you no longer need mom. You no longer need God. So we don't have to listen to or care in our society anymore about religious institutions like churches, and we no longer have to listen to, nor do we have a need for the nuclear family, which is where moms are found. Do you really want the government to be God? Do you really want the government to be mom? These are important matters. Because do we really want to be treated as children? Do we really want to be treated as pawns? You see, about the very best that a government can do is to pursue equality. Pursue equality. And leave equity to moms. And leave equity to God. When you hear the word equity, I want you to know that what that means is that somebody's trying to play God or somebody's trying to play mom in your life or in your culture. There's another dimension to this, and I know this might be complicated and hard to follow, but there is this divide between positive and negative sanctions. And it seems like equality is best when addressing negative sanctions or punishment. All right, you kill someone, you're going to get the death penalty, or you're going to go to jail, whatever the standard is. Equality works really well there. Equity is for when addressing positive sanctions. And again, government does best when it's limited to the practice of justice, right? Government is the sword. It's the minister of God, but it's the sword. It's there for those negative sanctions, for those punishments. and making them equal is a good and godly function for government. But government is never intended nor raised up to be the minister of grace. That's our job as the church, to reflect the grace of God. And it's our job as moms to make sure that Susie, who really needs it, gets the booster seat. And Tiny Tim, who can't make it to the table, gets the head start. So government does best when it's limited to the justice of negative sanctions or equality. If anyone other than those four groups, right? God and mom and kings and court, if other folks end up are given the prerogative of exercising equity, equity's going to get a really bad name. Guess what? Equity's gotten a bad name in our culture. Moms and God do great jobs of establishing equity. Moms do it imperfectly, right? Sometimes they make a mistake. Maybe they'll give a little too much to one of their kids when they really didn't need it. And if there's favoritism going on in a way that's unhealthy, that's not good. Moms practice equity imperfectly. But God practices equity perfectly. Some of you are here and saying, I thought we came to church today. Why are we getting this political lecture here? Well, the sermon's about to start. That was the talk. The sermon is about the fact that God practices equity perfectly. I knew we'd be running late here, so I didn't put the references up, nor will I turn to them. But in John chapter 15, okay, that was our gospel lesson. And it tells us that God gives us better than we deserve. God is practicing equity with us. We deserve hell, right? And that's right out of the Old Testament. God has punished us less than our sins deserve. We come to John chapter 15, and Jesus loves us, and Jesus lays down his life for us. We don't deserve that. And God is practicing equity because he's giving us better than we deserve. He takes us, and he takes us in. In that passage in John chapter 15, we once were called servants, but you're no longer servants, now you're friends. And in the original, in the Greek there, it means that you're a prince. And you're brought into his inner court. And a little farther on in John, you become sons. And you're brothers and sisters, not only with each other, but brothers and sisters with Christ. You're brought into his family. Folks, that's not equality. That's equity. He's not treating you like he treats everybody else in the world. You're his elect. You're his chosen. You're Susie. You're Tiny Tim. He's made a place for you. He practices equity perfectly. He brings you into his family. And then in 1 John, our reading talked about the fact that we're born of water and of blood. His blood also means we're family. And who better to practice equity than someone up close and personal? Practicing equity from afar cannot be done equitably. And then we come to Acts in chapter 10 in our New Testament lesson. And you know what? There's the story about the Gentiles coming to faith. I have a news flash for you. God did not treat the Jews and the Gentiles equally. Right? Think about what he did for Israel. He did not treat the Jews and the Gentiles equally. But you know what? He ends up treating them with equity. The passage here in Acts chapter 10 is about both groups receiving what they really need, the gift of the Holy Spirit. They're not treated equally, but they're treated with equity. They receive the Holy Spirit. They are beneficiaries of the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. This says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. We mess up and our hearts condemn us. We know that we've done wrong. But you know what? There are things that sometimes the world, the flesh, and the devil accuse us of. But this verse is the reminder that God is like the super mom. He knows everything. And if you've messed up, you know, but your heart, it was in the right place, and you, but you still, you just messed up and you're feeling condemned. God knows. God is like a super mom. He knows everything. He knows what you need. He's not going to treat you only with equality. He's going to treat you with equity. I know other people, and you know, some people get confused about this, and they say, wait a minute. Here's this person, and they only had the gospel preached to them once. And somebody else over here had the gospel preached to them 10,000 times. Is that fair? Is that equal? No, it's not equal. It's better than equal. It's God treating people with equity. Maybe you needed to hear it 10,000 times. And he gave it to you. He knows everything. The love that is talked about here in our gospel lesson. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus laid down his life for you guys. And he loves us with a love that is a greater love than our own mothers ever could. I hope somewhere in your life this helps. Know this. God judges the world. We hear about that in Psalm 98:9. And the peoples with equity. Equity is a wonderful word. Don't let its abuse in the culture let it destroy for you what it really means about God's love. And I'll add this for today. What it really means about mom's love. Father God in heaven, oh Lord, we've been over some heavy matters here. But we thank you, Lord, for your great love. Lord, that oftentimes supplements, other times supersedes the inadequacy of the equality of law. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you that grace triumphs over justice. Father, we're not done sorting through this. But we thank you for your exercise of equity in our lives. We are eternally grateful to you. Help us honor you, worship you, and love you in return. We ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you.